DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everyone. We're back. It's not just me and Danny this time.
No, you actually have talent on this episode.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. Where is it?
Jim's not on this episode.
Wait, damn. Jim's talent? Fuck. We're so fucked.
Always, every single day.
Okay, so it's Danny, Samantha, James.
Woo.
And Samantha, we have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And this came out. I was at Danny's.
These are always dangerous things.
No, this is actually really, really good. So let me set it up. So I was at Danny's. We were having our Music Friday. And we had like a break in the momentum. And Danny posed this question to me that his wife had posed to him. And
there's a bit of a story behind it.
We went for almost 2 hours.
Easily.
Before it devolved into bodily function talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was awesome, by the way.
Fucking amazing.
It always is.
Naturally.
But the question is, are battlefield romances disgraceful?
I don't think so.
Yes!
Oh my God.
Victory!
Why would they be?
Well, okay, so here's the situation, and I'll outline for it. So Josie and I got to talking about this. We got on the subject in a weird roundabout way, like you do. But basically, she had posed this notion to me that she believed that battlefield romances were disgraceful. And I immediately recoiled and went, no! No, of course not. They're not. No, it's probably the only thing worth fighting for. Because, again, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, love is never a bad thing. And if anything, it will make
love
you
sex
a
and rock and roll, man.
Fuck real. So I her and I went a decent rounds about this. Now, where I think my wife's misconception was the idea of essentially battlefield fuck buddies. Mostly from the aspect of women in the respects that it is incredibly ill-advised to get pregnant when in the midst of a battle. Or, well, not in the midst of a battle, but in the midst of a war, you know.
Which I still say is
pretty awesome.
Yeah,
you took fucking rounds on that one. But it was one of those things where we outlined for her that there is a massive difference between romance and fucking. And yeah. Now, having a battlefield fuck buddy, ill-advised. Horribly ill-advised. I'm not going to say it's wrong. I'm just going to say ill-advised.
Especially in the heat of battle.
Well, yeah, especially in the heat of battle. But at the same time, romance...
Samantha,
meh. Hey, if you get your jollies, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Yeah. But my running notion was that romance is a completely different thing. Falling in love with somebody... meeting that soul bonding kinship that makes you closer than you would be with a friend, I feel is massively important and far from disgraceful. And we wanted to pose this to you because, well, out of all of us, you're the only soldier in this group.
Sailor, but close enough.
Yeah, well,
service soldier's
person. Yeah.
Also with a better football team. Oh, Army, Navy.
Bias much?
Did you see the spread with which we demolished the Army?
Well, in fairness, a lot of people have demolished the Army.
On the football field.
He's not wrong, but it's...
Well, I mean, my best friend was in the Army, and she's had battlefield fuck buddies. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it, especially because there are condoms fucking everywhere. If someone, I mean...
You don't see it, but we're throwing out our arms like, see, we told
you. That was the point we made in the original debate.
Yeah, which we then threw at my wife.
Okay, so out to sea too. Like when I was on the ship, the medical unit had a box and it was always filled with condoms. So you could just grab them and it was right in the door. So no one even had to see your face. You just reach your hand in, grab some condoms and walk away swiftly. Like no one had to know you even took them. It's the easiest thing. There's condoms everywhere because they know people are going to have sex. Like that's, it's a base function. And if you're fearing for your life, you want to feel good. If you want to forget something, you want to feel good. So sex is a great way to do that.
And there's also not a lot of alcohol on ships. I don't see
anything wrong with battlefield fuck buddies. I don't see anything wrong with a battlefield romance. Now, the romance and fuck buddiness cannot get in the way of your duty and your primary function.
That was
so, yeah.
Yeah, that was my point in Josie's defense.
Right.
And we had a very detailed conversation regarding that. But overall, I think Danny and I both came on the side of no, it's not bad.
It's not a disgraceful thing at all. I mean, she had gotten this notion from the Russian night witches that were in the World War II. They were these really, really fucking phenomenal ace pilots, the lot of them. And it was a crew of them. And they would go in at night, kill their engines, fly in low, and take out their shot and start their engines back up and fly up. And they literally came out of nowhere. Nobody could hear them coming because they'd kill their engines and glide in. And so they called them night witches. Well, apparently they were told that battlefield romances were disgraceful to your uniform, to the cause, to the fight, to everything. And that
look,
it was not supposed to.
Of course they were told that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I know, and that's what I tried to tell her, too. It's like, well, that's a bit of a swing and a miss, A, on principle, and B, from the people it's coming from. But again, that's
sorry,
my notion.
My cat just did the funniest thing. He came running out with a giant wad of paper in
his
mouth.
He killed his engine.
He killed his engine. He glided in. Danger is a night witch. And now he's just fucking up some shit.
He's tearing up some paper for no reason.
James, the easily distracted.
I'm sorry. It's been a while since I've had a cat, especially a cat this young and energetic.
He's just so fluffy.
I'm trying to figure out how to weaponize his cuteness so we can take over the world. Yeah, don't shake him and do that, though. You'll end up with a face full of claw.
Well, either that or, you know.
No, do that. Do that, Danny and James. Take video. We need Facebook
My face!
Wow, this video of Danny getting his face scratched up really brought our numbers up.
Yeah, right. I don't think that was a good idea, guys.
And the follow-up where we're putting Bactine on it is really...
Yeah.
Way to take one for the team.
Instant success. Viral video gold. But anyway.
So now you can go back.
Abound.
You can go back to your wife and say.
Samantha sides with me. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
And
well,
rub it in her
like
face.
That.
Swat her with a newspaper and say you're wrong.
I hope she kicks you in the nuts.
Go to your bed.
You guys hope a lot of bodily injury on me on this episode. I'm feeling a little pressure.
Look,
here.
I didn't hope for it. I just asked you to help bring up our numbers.
Oh well, you know. What the fuck aren't you doing?
Bodily injury. For every Patreon donor, Danny gets kicked in the nuts.
Damn it!
For every $5 donation, we kick him in the nuts. No. For every $10 donation, we walk on his nuts in stiletto heels.
And for $1 million donation, they will literally take a Louisville Slugger between my legs.
For $100, you can come and kick Dan in the nuts.
Yeah. This is bullshit. What the fuck?
I've got $100 right now.
Why are my nuts on a witch trial now?
Not fair.
If they swell up, you're a witch.
What did my balls ever do to you guys?
They know what they did.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Oh, that laugh was so evil.
Thanks, Sam. Your vote of confidence is just resounding.
You're welcome. Love you.
Jerks.
So if you're listening to this episode and you have not already done so, episode 2 of Homestead is out.
Plugging it.
So, download it, share it with friends, become addicted like Danny's buddy Drew,
our fan club president, thank you.
And only member.
Only listener.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Drew. Hey, Drew and Biddy.
We need to get him on here.
No, we don't need to break the fourth wall.
We do.
I want him to continue liking the show.
It's not going to make it any, you know, worse at this point. So, you know, it's not like we're the ladder down this point.
If he listens to last week's episode that you and I did and still enjoys the show.
You know he will.
I didn't even listen to last week's episode. I'm scared.
Most of the time, you know,
it was about an hour of Danny and I eating Bertie Bott's every flavor beans.
It was glorious.
It was the dumbest episode we've ever done.
Sorry, Bree, we were gonna save some for you, you know, the real choice ones, but yeah, we didn't.
Danny ate all the vomit ones.
Oh God, it was so fucking bad.
I gave him a whole handful.
Do you know what those were supposed to be? Actually, I found this out. The vomit flavor was actually meant to be pizza flavored. But when they put it together and got it out there, it got a new name for obvious reasons.
Those are for Josie, by the way.
Oh, sweet.
I've been meaning to give those to you, and I keep forgetting.
Oh, that's so sweet.
There's nothing pizza about that flavor.
Not even fucking remotely.
It tastes like bile.
It really does, and it is so fucking vile. Bile, gross. That was just fucking harsh. Dude, oh, what else you got?
Do you want to try your luck?
Oh, why am I such a sadist? And I forgot which flavors were what.
I know. What'd you get?
Oh, I got that weird blueberry one again. That tastes like blueberry, but not really.
Here, try this one.
Oh, God damn you. See, this was the content that you missed out on last week, Sam.
I was just grabbing them and making him eat them.
No, he was cherry picking the nasty looking ones.
Yeah, because I knew which ones were which.
Dick.
What'd you get?
I've never had those. Cookies. I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten anything today. Cookies.
This one tastes like refried beans.
Maybe because that was just a refried bean.
I'm okay with that. That is not a terrible flavor. I'm okay with it. No, I'm done.
No, you're
not. You can't make me. All right, last one. I don't need another show of me, you know, spitting continuously.
No, I think we ate all the bad flavor. Oh, no. Here, honey, try this one.
That was a good one. That was like toasted marshmallow.
Give her the spit bucket just in case.
Do it. Do it. You have to give it at least 3 or 4 good chews. Now you got to get the whole thing in there and get 3 or 4 good chews. Get that flavor rolling around. So as it was done to us.
As we did to ourselves.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that's grass.
Ooh, yep. That was a good one. Spit bucket?
No, this is.
I got a lemon drop in my mouth.
Oh, okay, there you go. You're in good shape.
This one is black pepper. Surprisingly, it's not actually bad. Good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I like black pepper, though. Yeah. I black pepper all of my food pretty heavily.
I black out all the time.
I know you do, Sam. That's why we really need to spend time together.
Okay. So, so the Battlefield Romance conversation led into bodily functions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because Danny's wife can belch.
Oh, like great
you
H-ham.
Would not believe.
Great H-ham.
And we got to talking about some of the times in Montana, Sam, when you actually shook the building.
A little rumble in the Bronx there, Sam.
And it did not come out of the top.
Yeah, that was a fart.
that was a Bronx cheer, as it were.
I'm quite a farter.
Farter.
Name of the episode, I'm quite a farter.
Quite a farter.
Samantha's on the board.
It's early. Victory will be mine, Sam.
But no, if you don't know Samantha, she has the ability to put so much power and intensity in
she's a power thruster. She gets those afterburners going, you know. Gets that little extra thrust.
It's like, I want to call Ryan down here so he can tell you
the actual truth. Testament to the destructive nature of your backdoor brown hole.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Brown note does not apply here.
So I told you the first time she ever farted in front of me, she was leaving the station for the night.
Oh, giving you a kiss goodbye?
And she, pretty much. It was like a very loud butt trumpet. See you later. Brrrr!
Hashtag drive-by. We don't do drive-bys. Like we pull up to the house and shoot.
didn't you scare off a herd of deer one night?
Probably.
The rumbly. Like,
probably.
again, you and I, Sam, we'll have a kinship on that one because, again, my pet handle from my wife is fart. So it's kind of awkward when we're out in public because she'll try to call me. You know, if we get like separated 20 or 30 feet, she goes fart. And every now and again, she'll call me by my name or something like that if she sees a lot of people around. But every now and again, she'll just go fart.
So I shared
like calling down the thunder, you know, the air raid sirens blow, fart, take cover!
I shared this story with Danny and his wife, and I'm going to share it here because she's here. So it was a few nights ago. Danger is my cat. Danger will sometimes sleep on the bed.
James is preparing to sleep on the couch.
Pretty much.
I get the nod of approval from Bree.
So a few nights ago, he jumps up on the bed and I have just come back to the bathroom. So I'm trying to get settled in. He comes up and he wants to get scritches and he lays right between us and I start petting his head and he kind of settles down and then Bree rips a fart so loud and it scared Danger so bad. He ran out of the room.
Oh, okay.
That's
so
a no.
One time Ryan farted and it was so deep that Essie thought it was, I don't know, some sort of explosion. And she curled up on my lap and was like shaking and salivating.
Jesus. Is everyone okay? Check the windows.
Ryan just, like, find me and gave me a smile. He's like, yeah.
Oh, that's usually how I answer mine. It's like most of the time, like when Wally's sitting on my lap or something like that, I'll give him, you know, a passing drive by. And he'll just kind of look at me with this look of disdain of just, you motherfucker.
I'm how sitting here.
How dare you? And he will just stare daggers at me until he catches a whiff. And he's like, nope, I'm out. And it's like, I have the seeper ones, you know, the ones that are loud on the start. But the smell has to seep into the couch cushion or the chair cushion and then rises up through your clothing. And then when you try to get up to get away from it, it just lingers on your shirt. And so you're like, oh,
see, I honestly think the worst is when you fart in bed. Because know it's going to come up.
Again, I kick my leg out under the blankets and I usually sleep with my, I sleep with my feet uncovered. So it's like when I do it, I lift my leg up to kind of create the tent motion and then I will push down by my waist to kind of waft it out towards my foot as I drop my foot. Yeah. I try to be courteous because I've had a couple of nights where it was cold and I had my feet under the blanket and shit and I ripped one, a good one, and it woke me up. And not only did the sound make me start laughing, but then the smell crept up through the opening where my chest was. It was like, oh, God, that's not funny. It's not funny. Oh, I need to stop eating. Seriously, whatever the hell that was.
Hands down, farting is the funniest thing the human body does.
Yeah.
It humanizes every person. I don't care who you are.
No, it's fucking hilarious, especially a perfectly timed one.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You get a quiet theater and somebody rips ass in the audience, that's fucking funny. I don't care who you are. Even if you're in a serious moment in a movie and the sound goes out, the audio goes out, and it's just that dry, quiet moment, and someone goes, immediately you're going to crack a smile.
I've actually seen – this was the greatest thing I've ever seen. But I was watching a news channel. And the anchor farted. Like, they finished the story.
Glorious.
And it was loud enough to be caught on the mic.
Oh, no.
And for me, I was like, kudos to you for keeping a straight face and not getting, like, bright red. Just, in other news.
In other news.
Anchor fails. Oh, news anchor fails are one of my favorite things.
Well, yeah, because they're supposed to be so professional and so well trained. It is so wonderful to watch them fuck up.
It's the most beautiful thing in the world. But yeah. It's like seeing that – and you can see their eyes get bigger. It's like, oh, shit.
For just a split second.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit.
It's like, hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a perfectly timed fart.
Dude, seriously, man.
You don't want it.
And honestly –
it's always when everything goes quiet. It's that moment with just perfect silence and then –
it's glorious. Honestly, for me, there is one fart sound that is used in movies and TV that will fucking kill me every time. And it almost doesn't matter where it is, but it sounds like a trumpet on a short burst. So it's that fucking sound will always make me laugh. And if it's put into a perfect scene, oh Lord, it hurts me. But it's so wonderful, and it's one of those things, too, where even fake fart noises, if perfectly timed, are glorious.
Oh, yeah.
It's story time for you. So when I was younger, I want to say I was in high school, my stepdad had a PA system on his fucking car. And so what we did was we rolled up to a stoplight, and this old couple, old man, old woman, were walking across the street. And he gets on the mic, and he just goes... It wasn't a good sound, but it was enough to know what it was about. Yeah. The old man never missed a beat. He just kept walking. The old lady kind of popped up and looked behind her and saw if anybody was walking behind her. Like, I hope they don't smell that. It was so fucking funny that at that point, it was just beautiful. Just what the hell?
So I saw a comedian. He got one of those little fart machines.
Oh, God, those are glorious.
And he's palming it, but he's keeping it like close to his ass, and he's walking around a mall. Yeah, and he's just the reactions they got from people just laughing, and then he talks to this guy who's giving them this whole spiel, and he's just ripping ass on this machine, and the guy just keeps going with the spiel. It's like, wow, he really wanted to sell that thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's the thing too. It's like burps are funny. But not as funny, because honestly, like, I apparently have a requirement of volume versus length that I require out of a burp to be funny. Mm-hmm. If it's a long fucking guttural, that shit's funny. If it's one of those little, it's nothing.
It's nothing, yeah. It's a hiccup.
It's like, oh, that's cute. That's so cute.
This one, volume, like you would... Her burp volume matches Samantha's butt volume.
Well, that's impressive. And to be quite honest with you, I even confided in Josie. Now, having not seen Bree's talents, I did confide to her that of the people I've known in my life who can really get a good belch, the only person I know who has never been beat is Drew. Drew is the loudest, longest consistency, and can do it on command belcher I have ever known.
No, she doesn't do it on command, but
dude, he is a fucking horn for that shit. And on top of that,
out of her mouth, most guys would be ecstatic to be able to pull off.
Oh yeah.
She can never do it on command. It's usually after a meal or a good soda or something.
You have to put in the effort, yeah.
And she's just... Bruh.
But again, Drew is by far, and still to this day, the untoppled king of the loud, long burps. On top of that, he may not have the loudest farts in the world, but oh my God, they're caustic. The shit could melt paint off the walls and make small plants and animals die. It is some deadly shit. Him and I, since we grew up together, you know, since we were little kids, it was a challenge, you know. It's like, oh, who's going to have the gnarlier fucking fart? And Drew always won. Always. That man was a great A professional.
I would like to see him go against Jim in his prime.
Oh, dude. Well, that's the thing. Dude, Drew is still prime.
There was a rule back at KUFO that if Jim went to the bathroom, no matter how bad you had to go, you waited 24 hours.
You're just going to give it a day, let the fallout settle, then you may enter.
He could wreck a toilet. Like you could not believe.
Big World Jim's champion, blowing it up.
World champion pooper.
Uh-huh.
He tells a story about he was doing a gig at a comedy club, and he took a dump that had the audience gagging.
It was me!
And the other comedians were getting rid of all their material to talk about the filth that he left.
That is glorious. So, Sam, where do you stand on the Belch-Richter scale?
I don't know. I do think farts are funnier.
Well, we know that.
When I think of burping, I tend to think of like Animal House.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
When you have like the, you know, they're at the toga party and the one dude's like, bleh, but like, I don't know. I do prefer volume over longevity as well. Same with penis sizes. And
really? Longevity? You're okay with the 2-pump chump, eh?
you got to make them count, though. Like, that's the thing.
Ba-bam, you're done. What? No!
She likes it when a guy can pole vault into bed and hit the mark.
But that's the only mark he can hit, and then after that it's just...
Guy's running at the bed going, stay on target! Stay on target!
All right, you son of a bitch, we practice for this.
Use the force, Luke.
No, I don't know. Burps are funny. I like loud ones and well-timed. Again, it's the same thing with all comedy, right? It has to be well-timed.
Yeah, true. Timing is everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think farts are one of those wonderful anomalies that even if they're not perfectly timed, you can't help but smile. You can't help but crack a smile if you hear a good one.
Even when it's a silent one and it creeps up on you and you're suddenly smelling, it's like, you son of a bitch.
What's the thing with my farts? The louder and noisier they are, the less they're going to stink or not stink at all. That it's just noise and air.
Oh, because Sam's shit don't stink.
No. She's actually right.
No, yeah.
I think it's scientifically, the louder, the less stink.
Well, yeah, because the quieter ones are more concentrated volumes of stench. The louder ones literally have force pushing them out, right, and they disperse quicker.
The ones that, like, burn you like a lighter.
Oh, God. Those,
like, that's going to be poison gas for you.
The cradle cookers, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Poor Ryan, if we're, like, watching TV or something, and I'm like... No, the less sound, the worse it's going to be. So, like, are those silent... The SBD is silent but deadly. So you get one of those really silent ones, and then you just, like, lift up the blanket and let it...
Just waft it up. Oh, man, you're a jerk, dude.
Wait, are you saying you Dutch oven your boyfriend?
Yeah, it's sounding like it.
I don't want that done to me.
That's some cruel shit.
I guarantee you he's done that to you. You've just been asleep.
Just went,
thank God for that, then, because that's not a thing anymore.
Wait, do you crop dust him? Do you just walk by and just...
Hashtag
I'll crop dust all day long. I'm not going to Dutch oven.
Oh, man, it sucks for me because when I'm at work, since, you know, I'm in a small area, when I rip ass, it always seems to be like the stenchier that is, the more likely I'm going to get an engineer coming over me to ask questions. And it's like, and I try to back myself up. It's like, push the smell back. I don't need them knowing I did it.
So I have a silent but deadly story.
Ooh.
Oh, please do tell.
I had a bit of an upset stomach and a little bit of the, what's it called? Like the dangerous squirts or the bubble guts. There we go. The bubble guts.
Okay. Yeah.
A little bubble gutty and just had an upset stomach. And
come on down to bubble gutty shrimp.
Scream and squirts.
Danger squirts.
So, danger squirts. Yeah.
So we were at, Barnes & Noble and we were, you know, looking through the books and I let him get ahead of me a bit. And I was like, oh, man, and there's no one around. There was no one around. So I just.
That's what you get for reading.
So I didn't let one go in this aisle. And then I went around and I looked for Ryan and I just caught him coming back the other way on the other side of the aisles. Mm. So he starts walking down the aisle that I just farted in. I'm trying to stop him. I'm like, no, turn around, go the other way. But like,
save all yourself.
I was like, no.
Hit that brick wall of, what the fuck?
I watched it happen. I watched his face go from like, hey, to, ooh, ooh, ooh.
you love that? It's almost like watching cats walk into a cellophaned up doorway. Just boom.
What the? Oh, it's in my eyes. Oh, I can't see.
It burns.
I'll never smell again.
It burns us precious. It burns us.
Please take it away from us. Yeah.
Okay, so I got a good fart story that I wanted to share. So I just finished up the morning show. The host had left, and I usually had about 10 minutes before the next guy came in, because the show would end at like 9:50.
Right.
So I would take it, you know, just make sure everything gets up to the top of the hour. Next guy comes in. Well, I had a bit of a bubble gut that day. And
danger squirt.
No one's in the studio, so I just let rip. And it was foul.
It's always the ones when you're like, all right, I can let it go. And then you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. I fucked up.
Well, right as I finished, I was like, okay, oh, this is foul. I'm so glad this will be dissipated before the next guy. Hey, James, how's it going? Oh, shit. And he, like, walks in and goes, dude, did you fart? It's like, bro, I thought we were friends. I was like, I thought you didn't come in for another 10 minutes,
I
man.
I thought I had more privacy. Knock
this
before
is
you
on
like
you.
This is on you. How dare you? Dude, seriously, because honestly,
what was great is he's like, no, you're right. This was on me. I was early.
My bad.
He's like, do you do this every day? He's like, no, it's the first time. Of course.
Like, why do you think it always smells a little off in here?
Just prepping the room for you, buddy. Basting the walls for you.
This is my subtle way of telling you you're shit.
You are shit.
You know, Samantha's the person to introduce me to the term sharding.
Really? No. You'd never heard of sharding?
Yeah, I'd never heard of it until Samantha brought it up. And now it's like nothing, my favorite thing ever.
How have you lived?
Makes me laugh harder than a good shart story.
Oh, dude, yeah.
I die. Because for some reason, sharting is just... I can't, because I'm remembering stories. It's just...
Please share.
Well, they're stories from friends.
You know, this is the second dumbest episode we've ever done.
Second. I don't know. We've had some pretty stupid ones. Second dumbest episode. Back to back for all you loyal listeners. There you go. Back to back.
This is your reward,
stupid.
You poor people.
Well, we're trying to finish 2019 strong, you know?
We are so failing.
Horribly. Wow.
Okay, share a good shart story.
Come on, hand it over. Let it squeeze out.
One of my friends who was working at the Navy Club, which was a restaurant in Korea next on base, he was going to be the new head chef there. So he's doing an interview, or he's not doing an interview. He's already got the job, but he's doing a walkthrough of like his space, what the restaurant looks like, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, travel really sort of messes with your body.
Yeah, it does.
And he was telling me that he just felt it in his gut, and he was like, whoop. Well, he's like, hey, man, I gotta go. Yeah, pretty much. He was saying that it was really squishy when he walked. And
No. The worst part about it
is his introduction to his new job was sharting on the first day.
Oh, and the worst part about it, too, is because I have – diverticulitis, which is a layman's term for my tummy is never that happy with me. But it's one of those things where I've had those instances where it's like my guts are just turned upside down and it's like, God, I know if I could just squeeze out a good fart, I'll be in good shape. I'll feel so much better. And I've had days where it's like, if I do, I'm going to shit myself. And it's like, it's like, you know, I can only equate to, like, morning sickness, I suppose. Like, you know you're sick. You know that it's bad, but you just don't wanna. And the worst part about it, too, is when it happened at work. my guts decided to turn upside down at 8:20. So I had already gotten back from my first break, and I literally had a good 3 hours to go until my lunch. And all of a sudden, my guts turned upside down on me. I was like, oh, fuck. And I let one go.
No.
And It took a little more than I expected it to upon exiting. And so I literally was standing there squishing around for a good 2 hours.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I finally was finally able to break free, go use the restroom, and I just did the only thing you can do. I threw away my underwear. It was like there's no salvation for these guys. No. No shit, right? And I had contemplating sending it down the toilet, but I was like, how embarrassing would that be when it backs up and we gotta call maintenance out? Somebody threw his underwear down here. So I ran that scenario through my head the whole time, and I'm thinking about the restroom. It's like, oh, damn it, I'm just gonna get rid of these fucking things. Hang in there. And I felt another fart come on. It's like, oh, hell no. No, we are not adding poundage to this. It was probably, I will say honestly, my worst day of work ever. Because I had to go the rest of my day drawsless. And my work pants are heavy, heavy denim, so not gentle at all.
No.
Oh, Lord. I went home and I was fucking miserable. I was so mad. My guts hurt.
Sat on an ice pack?
Oh, dude. I was tempted to. But not only that, but being in, you know, your own excrement for so long makes things tender, too. And it was like, God, that was just the worst day of my life. I'm not going to lie. A shart is a funny story. It is a painful memory.
Yuck it up, bunny boy.
But yeah, that was mine. And
I
will never regale that story
me.
Ever again now that it's into the ether.
Well, you don't have to. You can just point to
me. God damn it.
The worst for me is when
radio
that
edit.
Feeling comes on. And you are nowhere near a toilet.
Yeah. Oh, in the car, driving on the road or something?
Yeah, I was just going to say in the car.
And it's like you know you can't hold it. You have to shit.
Yeah, this is Point
like,
Break 30 right here. It's like, no.
You will do anything for a toilet.
Oh, dude. And honestly, again, with my guts being the way they are, I've gone to work in the morning and I felt stuff like that come on, and the only thing I'm able to do is, since I drive an automatic now, I don't have a clutch anymore, I will put my foot on that little pad that's right next to the brakes, and I will fucking press into it like my life depended on me kicking a hole through my car, because it's like, no, God, no.
I remember very distinctly, everything was very fine. I was doing the morning show at KUFO. Got up in the morning, did my normal routine, went out, got on the bus, on the way to work, and about halfway there, just the feeling came. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, you're not going to wait, are you?
You're going to have a bad day. Hey, boss.
So here's what I found worked for me. I'm surprised. I was just like, I'll go to sleep.
I'll go to sleep. I can't poop in my sleep. Wait, didn't I do that as a child?
And it stalled. It stalled the feeling until I got off the bus. And I walked like 2 blocks and then it was back. And I was like, shit, I'm still 10 blocks from the station. So it was like baby steps all the way there.
This is the saddest episode we've ever done.
Went from the dumbest to the saddest.
Dumbest to the saddest right there.
But I made it. Just barely, but I made it.
Oh,
but I was like covered in sweat.
Oh yeah, dude, is that or is that not the most satisfying feeling in the world when you've been holding it, you finally get there and you feel like it's gonna erupt before you get your draws down. You get them down and you sit and you're like, victory!
It's really like,
no shit.
Have you guys ever sat on the toilet and then you're pooping and then like you just have this guttural,
oh yeah, that's called the power push.
No, you know what? Here's the worst though.
The relief.
It's that moment when like you've been holding it, and you make it there. You get your drawers down. And you're like, finally, oh, I made it, and nothing comes out. Your body's like.
That's the worst.
No, what's worse is when you do that, you get there after panicking, you know, doing the fucking pee-pee dance almost. You get there, you sit down, and all you do is... It's like...
Hey, better...
What the fuck?
But it didn't feel like that.
I could have stood up and did that with my pants on!
But it's that, safe than sorry.
It's yeah, that feeling right. in the gut, though. It's like, oh, this is not a fart. This does not feel like a fart. And you get there and it... really?
You asshole. That asshole's an asshole.
My asshole's an asshole.
Starfish.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, no, honestly, I do love those victory moments of once I've held it, and I go, I make it, and just fucking like a nuclear bomb going off in the toilet.
It feels like it comes out so fast and hard, it feels like your guts had a
like somebody
bomb.
Just took a giant hook and went, mine!
And it's always accompanied with the loudest just, poof!
Uh-huh. And the giant and the splashback. Oh, fucking splashback.
See, splashback is not an issue for me, thank goodness.
I will say, I have figured out the secret to saving myself that heartache. And for all you loyal listeners out here, here you go. I will always grab a decent, like, stringer of toilet paper, and I will throw it down right before I land, and that way when I fire off, no splash.
So you put a cushion for your
Yeah, fist. I do. I pat it to stop the water from splashing back.
It's a cushion for his cushion.
It is a cushion for my cushion.
And
it is
again,
a poop
Samantha
safety blanket.
Name the episode.
It is a poop safety blanket, okay? Thank you very much. It has saved my ass the uncomfortableness of the immediate splashback drop motion of Oh, it's cold. And it's contaminated.
Have you ever heard of the poop knife story?
Yes, I've heard of the poop knife story. Good Lord.
It's funny. Don't give me that.
It is funny, but at the same time, it's like, never in my life had I ever considered there actually being a tool for that. I mean,
well, if it's the only thing you know, like your family does it, you don't have a concept that other people don't.
Well, no, that's true. And again, for me and Drew, particularly, because we are celebrated poopers, we used to actually like to call each other while we were taking a shit because we always called it, oh, dude, I was thinking about you today. Thinking about you again. Yeah.
What am I like? Best friends at work. We no longer work together, which is really sad, but we're at two different banks now. But there was three of us that worked together and we were really close. And one of them was out sick one day. So her and I were like, we both had to poop. So we went to the bathroom.
Aww, pooping
and we took
pals.
A picture of our feet under the stall and sent it to the third one and was like, pooping buddies, we missed you.
Pooping pals. Hey, buddy. How's it moving today?
The proper term is puddin' pals.
Puddin' pals?
Puddin' pals, because you're making
pushin'
puddin'.
Pushin' pals.
Pushin' pals. There we go. I still like poopin' pals.
P-O-O-S-H.
Puddin' pushin' pals.
Pushin'.
Pushin'
pals. Pushin' pals.
Yeah, no.
Dumbest
this
episode
is the dumbest
ever.
Episode.
Drew should appreciate this one. He's becoming famous.
Thing is we're talking about something that everybody
does. Everybody poops.
Nobody likes to talk about it, but everybody does it. It's the one constant in human life.
Yeah.
You gotta poop.
You eat, you poop. It's as simple as that.
Say again, Brie.
Come on.
Huh?
What did you say?
What? Come on.
Brie not owning to her hilarious genius.
She had a great line and I missed it, and now she doesn't want to say.
Come on, Brie.
Everybody poops.
Everybody wins.
Everybody poops.
Sometimes. Two or three times a day.
If you're regular.
Yeah. Damn you,
regular,
predictable bowels.
You guys typically poop in the morning, in the evening, or at night? Like, what's your main poop time?
I am a timed professional. So I have two times that'll happen to me when my guts are on a good path. I have exactly 9 a.m. every morning during the week and once at 4:45 at night. That's my schedule. And I don't even try. It just happens because what will happen is I'll go to work and I'll get to work at like 5:30. And I'll play Magic and do my thing, and then we'll go inside. I'll start my day at 6 a.m. My break happens at 8:15, there and abouts. So I'll have a cup of coffee, and by 9 o'clock, almost on the fucking button, it's like, whoop, time to go say hi.
Time to peep.
Yep. Time to puke.
For me, it's usually right after lunch.
That's fair.
Got to puke.
Get a puke.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then
puping.
Right around dinner time. I got to take another puke.
Puke. That's so cute.
P-W-P. A puke.
Yep.
Puke.
Yep. I've been using puke for a while.
Puke. That's so funny. That was something we did back in high school, actually. It was a running
you
challenge.
Went puping?
Oh, we always went puping. No, we actually used to challenge each other to say the word poopy and not crack a smile. It's like, I fucking dare you, say poopy and don't smile at all. And nobody ever beat it. Not even me. And honestly, I tried really hard to just, like, change the word meaning in my head. It didn't work.
I'm feeling pee-pee.
I'm feeling poopy.
Pee-pee.
Poopy. Dumbest show ever.
It's so funny that you're bringing that up because in an upcoming episode of Homestead...
spoiler alert.
Our characters are talking about a campsite and we're discussing having pooping? To look for where the people, and your character just pooped. And you keep saying it over and over again till we're like, okay, enough. And, sorry.
I pooped.
You are the juvenile in the conversation.
Well, yeah. I mean, clearly not in this group, but yes. I am amidst friends in this group of people. I have met my
peepers.
Equal. Yeah, celebrated peepers. You're a celebrated pooper, and you know it.
A celebrated?
Celebrated pooper.
I am a celebrated pooper.
Pooper.
With pooshing pals.
With pooshing pals. Pooshing pals for celebrated poopers. Dumbest episode ever.
La pushing battles.
You are all very welcome now.
Puke at your
house? Go puke and listen to this poopy episode.
I'm putting that on the description. This episode is best listened to in the bathroom.
Go take a shit puping. And enjoy.
While going poopy.
All right, quick.
You're right. You can't not smile.
I told you it's rough. Just saying the word poopy. And you have to enunciate it, too, because otherwise it throws it off. If you go pee-pee, you can be it's not the same
poopy.
Thing. Poopy.
My friend Jimmy
I can do it, apparently.
This episode so
James
much
is dead
because
inside.
He hates toilet humor.
Oh, this is going to be glorious for him, because he's going
to
hate
he'll
it.
Oh, he'll listen to it. He'll get to the first fart joke and be like, I'm out.
Game off. Got to go pee-pee.
How dare you recommend this
we
one?
We need to start every episode up with fart joke. Welcome to not another podcast. Well, time.
I feel like I should put a warning on this episode.
Parental discretion advised.
Warning, if you have bubble gut,
do not try to listen to the episode all the way through without being close to a toilet.
If you are irregular,
you have that not so fresh feeling.
I got a buddy who
has a not so fresh feeling.
No, I got a buddy.
I can ride a bike.
One of the topics of discussion, even now, we've known each other like 25 years, and we'll get together, and even now, we'll have conversations about pooping.
Well, yeah.
And he still, to this day, claims that whenever he is in Fred Meyer's, he will take the worst shit. Ever.
Oh, just
like the
dropping
greasiest,
the bomb on them.
It's the one where you're using half a roll of toilet paper.
Oh, yeah, just to
it's
hope to
just
get all of it.
Sticky and yeah.
Shittiest episode
ever. You
ever
finish and kind of glance and find yourself
feel
really
proud?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, dude.
You
I've
ever had
one.
Perfectly coiled?
Oh, dude. Not perfectly coiled, but
I've had
ones that
coiled.
Have sat in there but still breached out of the water and up the bowl side in a solid piece. And it's like, well, that's got to be 10 or 15 Keurigs. That's a record holder right there. And the weird thing about it is when I get those, they don't feel that bad. Matter of fact, it's actually quite enjoyable. It's like
I love it when you finish and you're like, wow, I think I lost like 5 pounds.
No shit, my pants fit better, you know. Yeah. Fuck real, because
they
honestly
were tight
I
when I came in.
I have had those types of movements where I just feel so much better. It's like, whoo. I can take on a buffet now.
Or the ones where you sit down and you just feel like it doesn't feel like much comes out, But then you look, and it's like
just
filled.
A monster. It's like, Jesus Christ.
What the fuck is wrong with me?
No shit. I've had some prize winners for sure that maintain shape and size all the way out, and it's like, I look down and it's like, I'd call Josie in here to look at this, but that's kind of gross.
That'll ruin the marriage.
I don't think she'll ever look at me the same.
Your nickname will go from fart to shit.
Yeah, I'll be a big shit. You big shit! That's already my name when I'm in trouble.
But it looked like a swan, I swear.
Swans
it was Shinigami.
Shinigami.
It was my swan song.
It's my Dairy Queen soft serve.
Oh, you made it gross. Two Danny's, one cup.
Again, the sounds that resemble bologna being thrown against the wall, you know.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And scene.
I think we just need to title this episode The Shittiest Episode Ever.
Yeah, yeah. The shittiest episode. So the dumbest.
Dumbest was
to
yes,
the shittiest.
To the shittiest. This,
but that'll bring people in. It's like, well,
yeah.
Why did they do so bad?
And no
it's
shit.
Just like 30 minutes of
Bertie
poop
Bott's
talk.
Every flavored bean turned into poop talk. You're welcome for those transitions.
Not another poop cast.
Not another shit cast. Yep, yep. Poopy.
Welcome to not another poop cast.
Poop.
Pube cast?
Maybe.
That's next week's episode.
Make a wish.
Next week, we'll be talking about pubic hair.
Less, more, straight, curly.
Mine has a bit of a fro technique going, you know, kind of rocking that, you know, 1970s, you know, free love shit. Just saying. How about you, Sam?
I haven't shaved my legs in 2 months. What do you think that's going to look like?
So you've cornrowed yours.
My legs, too. All connected.
I have a feeling that would be really painful.
It's ghetto all up in this crotch.
What?
You can call this crotch Jack Brown.
Just watch out for the blasting back door.
It's that black mamba shit. Black snake moan, baby.
Oh, man.
You made it weird.
But surprisingly hot.
Everything Sam says is hot.
I'm done now.
Oh, we bookmarked it already, buddy.
Oh, I've bookmarked, finished it, put the book away, put the bookmark in a new book. I'm good.
And cornrowed it.
I'm just looking at it. I don't know what gibberish I'm talking. Oh, my God.
She's going to jerry curl that shit, though.
Oh, yeah. Get your soul glow.
Soul glow.
Just let your soul go. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She is your queen.
You get a little sexual chocolate there and some soul glow.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Sexual chocolate.
Balls.
That boy good. Oh. Wow. Classics.
Oh,
if you don't catch our references, you really shouldn't be listening to this.
We went to a really weird place.
We did. Well, it only makes sense that we went from poop to the front end. You know, we had to make that crotchular transition.
We have to wipe front to back. So
yeah, exactly. Well, in this case, we wiped back to front. But, you know, whatever. It's cool.
Well,
it's cool.
Because it's the shittiest podcast episode ever.
Clearly.
So we had to do it the gross way.
Yeah. Sam's got cornrows leading to the hood.
I was going to make a pretty
joke. It's not a pathway to paradise. No, that's Crenshaw.
I did like that movie, though, Boys in the Pubes. That was
Boys
really
in the Pubes? Yeah, that was horrid. That movie was horrid.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, no. Shittiest episode ever. Oh, my God.
Yepest episode ever.
Oh.
Okay, that's it. I'm calling it.
This is horseshit. Kiwi.
Don't get me started on horse shit.
Oh, what you got to say about horse shit?
Just kidding. They're called road apples.
Road apples? Ooh, yeah. Tasty. Tasty.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.